the September 19th, 2014 meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees will reconvene. Our first item of business is approval of the new collective bargaining agreement. Attorney Cage, would you present that, please?
Yes, the university has just completed negotiations with the International Union of Operating Engineers. The terms of the contract is to bring the university operating engineers within the prevailing wage standards that are set by the state. This is a five-year contract, and we're asking for the board approval of that contract.
I move the board approve the contract.
Second. I so move.
Trustee Carton? Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith? Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
The next item on our agenda is the board has considered changing our rules regarding public comment. In order to do that, those proposed changes have to be read into the record, posted on the school website, read into the record a second time. So today will be our first reading of those proposed changes. Our attorney Fribb, will you do that, please?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Young. This item involves the proposed amendment of Article 3 of the board of the bylaws, which governs board operating procedures. Under the Open Meeting Act, public comments may be given at open meetings, and the board has the right to adopt reasonable regulations. The board has considered this matter, and it is proposing the amendment of the bylaws as follows. First of all, there will be a sign-up sheet made available to the public at least 30 minutes before the meeting, subject to the Open Meeting Act. The sign-up sheet will have room for at least 10 speakers. And then there is a provision governing the allocation of time, which is also permitted under the rules. The chair may limit speakers to 2 minutes, provided that the total comment period shall be no less than 20 minutes. Further, the bylaws as revised will contain restrictions on certain forms of communications, including presentations by vendors, matters involving personnel decisions, presentations regarding litigations, collective bargaining process, disputes, confidential or privileged information, invasions of privacy, personal attacks or harassment, and profane or obscene speech. The rules further provide that the participants in board comment periods must adhere to Robert's Rules of Order. And that is a summary of the amendment as proposed.
I believe we need to take a vote at this time. I move that we adopt the amendment as proposed.
Second.
Trustee Curtin? Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Smith? Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
This is the time where we open the meeting to public comment. I would ask that each person who wishes to comment confine their remarks to 2 minutes.
Good morning, Chairman Young, Dr. Watson, Board of Trustees. My name is Lauren Booker, and I am one of the class of 2014 post-senior level nursing students. So I just want to tell you our story, and I appreciate your time. Imagine your son or daughter walking across the stage at graduation, shaking Dr. Watson's hand, taking pictures, being pinned by nursing faculty, graduating in honor with honors, just to be told that they were unable to receive their degree and in turn cannot take their licensure examination. This is what happened to us. I would like to ask the nursing students to stand. So briefly, I'll tell you our story. 25 out of 45 nursing students are in limbo. Why do you ask? because Chicago State University has chosen to use the HESI exit exam to dictate our futures as registered nurses. Because this exam is thought to predict our performance on our NCLEX, which is our licensure examination. So I'll just go straight to the facts. The first thing, on our first attempt, 31 students out of 43 were not successful. We did not receive the 900 points as outlined by Chicago State University. The national average is currently 867. Several of us bypassed that national average. On the second attempt, 33 students were able to take it, 25 were not successful. This is even after paying the university $1,163 for a 5-week remediation course. At that time, we reached out to the department once again, letting the department know this remediation course was not effective. We had several different types of students in that class, and it was not specific to the HESI exam. We also paid hundreds of dollars for two other reviews, one of which we were told that was specific to our HESI exam, in which it was not. We also asked several times for the distributors of the exam to come out and review with us to provide a live review. At that time, it was at our expense, and we were denied. We are asking that CSU change its policy to allow the students to only utilize the HESI exam as an assessment tool, because the 900 is not working, which is evident when more than half of the class has yet to pass it. Surrounding schools, such as UIC, just implemented HESI this year. However, they only use it as an assessment. Those students have gone on to take boards, and a lot of them have been successful. Chamberlain, they do allow their students, or they do require their students to achieve a certain score on this exam. However, they provide them with a 2-year suite upon being admitted into the program. It's a HESI suite. It provides them with case studies, practice exams, and quizzes, which we never received. Loyola don't use the HESI exam at all, and their passing rate on our licensure examination is still higher than Chicago State's. They rely on their curriculum, and they feel confident in their curriculum, as Chicago State should feel confident in their curriculum, which is obvious when we graduated. We passed the nursing curriculum, but this one exam is holding us back from continuing on in our profession. CSU's current passing rate for the past 2 years on the board's exam has been 78%, which is extremely low. So if HESI was a true indicator and predictor of the NCLEX exam, then that passing rate would be at 100%. We contacted the Accreditation Commission for Education in Nursing, the accrediting body of the nursing program, and they in fact said that a university is able to change the policy if they see that it is unfit. And you can see this policy is just unfit. We have successfully, like I stated, completed the nursing program and the curriculum. However, we are left in limbo without jobs. Our families have supported us, and we ask that you do the same. I guarantee it is a win-win situation. We want to be proud alumni of CSU. We want to go out and fulfill our passion. And actually, we followed the chain of command. We didn't just come to the board just looking for answers. We started off with the nursing department. We did go to the office, the Department of Student Affairs. We contacted the office of the provost, the office of the president. However, we did not receive responses from some of the people. And I do have a list and an email trail where we email all of these people. So he'll just say 2 seconds real quick.
Just to follow up what my colleague said, we all want to be proud alumni. We're not against Chicago State. It frustrates us when people in the general public in our communities ask us about what's going on with the school, and we have to say, you know, these things that we're not really happy to say, because it's just unfair. We're not up here giving any kind of opinion. All the evidence that we have from the HESI company is fact. It's fact that HESI says you will be successful if you get a 2-year suite, which we received August 5th of this year, you know, and I understand that we have new leadership in the department and it's not on their backs, but at the same time, it cannot fall on our back. I mean, if we were your loved ones, your children, you would treat us the same. I mean, we come into the school through the government and through other resources. You know, we're paying the school, they're getting our money, and we spent 4.5 years here going to school. So we just feel like this exam, this one exam by outside vendor, should not hold us back, even though we successfully completed the curriculum here. That's all I have to say.
So Jennifer's not going to speak, but this is our class president, Ms. Jennifer Welch. So she's just here for support. She actually did pass. And a lot of the students that passed the exam were afforded the opportunity to purchase other resources that we were unable to purchase. Essentially, the nursing program is very difficult. You know, in orientation, they say, if you don't have to work, don't work. I personally had to move back home to continue this program, but as a result, I'm unable to purchase a lot of the outside books that some of those students were able to. In addition, they had experience working in hospitals and clinics. They may have worked as nursing assistants, so that's why some of these people passed. There are always going to be people who pass. So we just thank you for your time. We hope and pray that the situation can be rectified today so that we won't have to follow up with other entities in which we have been in contact with. And we'll be happy to answer any and all questions that you all may have. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm the president for the junior program and for the nurses. And this is the secretary, and then this is another one of our classmates. And I just wanted to start off, we wanted to talk about a renegotiation of the fees that were just implemented to us on August the 29th. So I just wanted to start off by saying that on March 7th, Board of Trustees meeting, it was voted in the implementation of these new fees, which are to arrange from $175 per credit hour. So on August the 6th of 2014, we received notification via email with an unspecified amount. August 29th, the $2,100 fee was implemented for the juniors and $2,450 for the seniors. So August 31st was the last day that you could drop from a course without, so that you can receive your 100% refund. So I just wanted to speak on that because a lot of us have made arrangements so that we could finish school, and we made our budgets and everything. So we was just wanting to get to renegotiate it in order that we can finish the program. I mean, because a lot of us that do not have financial aid and we're paying, you know, out of our pockets, and this is just bills on top of bills, and as you know, that people would get dropped. And we only have, like, this semester and then three other semesters go until we finish and, you know, obtain our bachelor's degree and pass our NCLEX also. And so they're going to speak on behalf of some issues that the class is also experiencing, and if we can have this semester waived until January, because we understand that the money is to go to benefit the program so that we can have the supplies we need, so we can, you know, have instructors for our clinical sites. We understand all that. We just needed some time to regroup because we were not given notice. You know, as you see, it was August 29th. We were implemented with a set amount fee that just came out of our accounts. So Michelle's going to speak right now on that.
Hi, good afternoon, members of the board. Many of us feel like the university changes are set up for us to fail and not to acquire what many of us are struggling to obtain. The start of the semester has been the most stressful at start because the majority of our class are faced with the possibilities of dropping from the nursing program because of unplanned and additional fees. Many have made decisions to default on bills, risk of housing, and make hard decisions to default on our bills. I'm sorry. To default on our bills, risk housing, and have had to make decisions on finances in the hope of trying to maintain within this program. We are only asking for support, and we want the board to just understand that we are very serious about becoming productive alumni who can give back to the academic community. But at this time, many of us may not be able to even afford to make it to the next semester, and this comes off the heels of
strategic plans to stop working or to cut hours to focus on our dreams. We want to work with the faculty and, if it is possible, the members of the board to accomplish our goals. As of this week, I went to the bursar to receive a statement because I get tuition assistance from my job. And I was told that monies that were I signed for a Title IV agreement to pay off summer tuition fees could not be paid because of the fee that was smacked on at last minute. So now I'm stuck with the monies that I would have planned, and I strategically had planned to have paid for my summer classes to come out of my fall monies. Can't pay that, and I'm stuck with a bill from the summer as well as the fees that were just hit after school started. So I'm in a position now, and it's not just me. It's the majority of my classmates. I don't have any way right now other than I'm working a full-time job and taking care of two kids to try to pay these bills, and I don't know how to get it done. I'm trying to be successful in my program, but at the same time, I can't, even if I pass this semester, I have a bill that I can't pay down from the summer, and I can't pay these fees right now going into the next semester for me to even start my next semester of school. And it's not fair. Yes, I have a degree already. I had to have a career change because of the economic situation in our country.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Wanda Dunnigan. I'm a junior nursing student and a 24-year vet. I currently use the IVG grant, which covers tuition only. This fee is costing me and my colleagues $10,995 in addition to tuition. The cost for this semester is $2,100 at $175 credit credit hours, which is 12 hours, credit hours we have now, $2,965 for the next three semesters, which is 17 credit hours. Currently, the current seniors are $2,450, and the only thing that is covered for them was the background check. There was no mention of this fee in the catalog, especially of this magnitude. Our tuition is locked in, therefore the fee should apply to the new incoming students. Junior and senior should be exempt from this fee. And if the university can give an itemized list of student tuition, why can't we get a list of the fee breakdown? Those are my questions I have for you. And if you all would please look into it, we would be ever so satisfied. Thank you.
Hello. For the record, as one of my colleagues likes to say, Lori Walter, Associate Professor of Zoology. Most of you know me as the president, the chapter president of the faculty staff union on campus. However, what I want to speak to you about today is not a contractual issue. I get that. It is not a contractual issue. It's an issue that I'm speaking about as a faculty member, as a member of the campus community, and as a faculty member who cares about faculty rights. I have a question. What is the current status of the Faculty Senate? And if that status is different from what it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, why has the campus community not been informed? Well, oh, a letter went out. Well, it would have been nice to receive.
Just in response, a letter went out to all full-time faculty, full-time lecturers, and adjuncts to the entire community regarding the status of the Faculty Senate. Would you like me to say what it's, share what it said?
Oh,
I'll make sure, I'll ensure that you have it within the next couple of minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Also,
Lori, so are you saying that you did not receive it?
That's correct.
Okay.
That is, in fact, what I'm saying. Furthermore, since I have the microphone briefly, this new policy that you are planning to implement on public comment strikes me as nothing more nor less than an attempt to stifle dissent. And as a faculty member and a member of this community and a member of et cetera. I disapprove of that. And last but not least, I do want to give a shout out to some of my former students here who are now nursing students. Let me just say, as I've said to some of you and to some of them, that they were able to get through classes like mine in order to get admitted to the program, and that's not an easy thing. And I think it is dreadfully sad if they are not able to finish and to get proper coaching to pass the necessary certification exams. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Robert Bionis. I'm in the History Department, and I'm here representing the Executive Committee of the Faculty Senate. I guess the major issue is the election process that took place in February. And I was the person who basically was responsible for organizing and carrying out the election. To begin with, I would like to say that I thought the administration's position that we needed to have an election because the Constitution was being amended was absolutely correct. It was an appropriate request. And we did the election in conformity with the sections, the pertinent sections of our Constitution. I have all the material, and the main problem, I think, was that the board's action to basically suspend the Senate's activities or to withdraw their recognition is precipitous because the university filed a FOIA request. The FOIA request is still with the Attorney General's office. It has not been resolved at this point. So this is, I think, a due process issue. We should at least wait until the Attorney General weighs in on this matter before we make a hasty decision to basically silence the faculty voices on this campus. Thank you.
Any further comments? Being none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I second.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak? Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes. Thank you.